The book of Acts chapter 12 talks about a perilous moment in history. It says in the beginning, in verse 1, it says, at that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. It was a time of harassment by government of that particular time. Harassment to the point where it says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. That's approximately, I believe, 16 soldiers, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Another translation says earnest, fervent prayer. In other words, the people went to prayer. Peter had been taken captive. He's in, no doubt, in a place that's not accessible to anything outside of the power of God. 16 or so soldiers are in charge of keeping him to make sure he doesn't escape. There's a bloodlust in that society to get rid of the testimony of God. It's a hopeless situation where somebody is imprisoned and will never get out any other way but by the power of God. And many of you tonight, you know situations like that. You might be dealing with something yourself, your own life, your own mind, your own heart, your own practice. Say, God, this is hopeless. This is a prison. It's too strong for me. I'll never get out but by your power and intervention in my life. Maybe you have a family member, a friend that you know about, and you say, God, nobody can get this person away from this captivity. It's going to have to be your hand. And so you come here tonight to pray. And the scripture tells us that people went to this house, Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and they were gathered together and they were praying, and they were praying fervently like you and I are praying tonight. I can picture these people in that house praying like we do, praying for something that's impossible in the natural, knowing in their hearts that God, the God that they served, was raised from the dead. God that they served could raise the dead. The God that they served had all power and authority in his hand, for he had told them that he had these things. The God that they served told them that they could speak to mountains and mountains would move. They could take up serpents and scorpions and nothing would hurt them. God that they served told them, as we started this evening with this incredible promises, they could cast out devils and they could take up serpents and they could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And they knew these things. They knew the God that they served, Jesus Christ, is a God of the miraculous. And so while they prayed, something began to happen. And you and I have to ask God, give us the eyes to see. Give us the eyes to see beyond our own prayers, even beyond our own circumstance or beyond the sanctuary where we are tonight or where we will be praying in the future. And you have to picture this. These people are gathered and they're fervently praying in this house, and they're praying for Peter, and they're saying, oh God, set this man free. Oh God, don't let him succumb or be harmed by the power of Rome. Oh God, we need this man. Oh God, we love this man, but he's held captive by a power that's too strong for him to ever get out in his own strength. I can hear their prayers. And they're fervently praying. And they're believing God as much as they know how to believe God. And as they're praying, though, something in the spiritual realm is beginning to happen. And you have got to be able to see that tonight. And I've got to be able to see it. Because if we don't see it, we're going to be overwhelmed by what we see on the streets outside of these doors. We've got to be able to see that God starts moving in the miraculous when people start to pray. When you and I pray with fervent hearts, when we pray believing, when we pray for the right reasons. Lord Jesus, this is for your glory. It's for your honor. It's for your namesake. Oh God, it's for your gospel's sake, Lord. Now, as they're praying in the house, we shift back to the prison. And it says, that night Peter was sleeping, bound between two chains, between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Not much chance of ever getting out of this place of captivity. Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. In other words, God came where no man could go. That's who God is. That's what God does. God comes where no man can go. You've tried to reach your son. You've tried to reach your daughter. You've tried to reason with your spouse. You've tried everything you know to do to get that brother off of drugs and back to serving God. You can't go there. You've tried, but you can't, and the prison is too deep. But God can. God can go anywhere. There's nothing that limits him. And the angel stood by him, and light came into his place of imprisonment. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Look, we're looking at divine intervention now that's come because somebody has prayed. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself." In other words, get dressed. Put on your shoes. I thank God that we serve a very practical God. And he'll start speaking to people. We're praying for people that seem hopeless. And God will come and say, "Get up, get dressed, put on your shoes. I'm taking you on a journey." And it says, immediately his chains fell off his hands. "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel, that it was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. It's like a person who's stoned on drugs and God's beginning to deliver him. And he doesn't believe that what he's actually seeing. He thinks he's hallucinating, but God's actually setting him free because somebody is praying for him. And they came past the first and the second guard posts. And the guards are probably just standing there, stony-eyed. They don't see a thing. They're frozen right where they are by the power of God. And the iron gate opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and down one street, and then the messenger, the angel, departed from him. And Peter came to himself, and he knew that God had sovereignly delivered him. So where does he go? He goes to the house where people are praying for him. Knocks on the door. And a girl named Rhoda comes to the door. You know, Jesus said, unless you have the faith of a child, you won't understand the kingdom of God. You won't see it. Oh, you'll preach it. You'll pray it, but you won't see it. Unless you have the faith of a child that just has a heart to say, hey, God just did what we've been asking him to do. The faith of a child that can bring a few fish and a few loaves to Jesus and says, hey, you and I should be able to do this. This crowd of 5,000 people, with my lunch and your power, we can feed this crowd. That's the faith of a child. And she ran into the group that were praying and said, Peter's at the gate. And they all said, praise the Lord. No, they didn't. You don't know your Bible if you think that's what they said. They said, no, it's his angel. In other words, it's a messenger he sent. He sent us a messenger to tell us that he has no bread, that it's cold, the soldiers are mean, to give us more prayer points, more PowerPoints for our prayer meeting. And Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. You see, they didn't really expect God to answer their prayer. Or maybe in their minds they formulated how it was going to happen. And if we allow our minds to formulate how God's going to answer, it will always be a natural answer. It will be Peter marched out first thing in the morning, brought before the judge, and somehow the heart of the judge becomes lenient. And he just chastises him, slaps him on the wrist, and lets him go. And that's how we view God's deliverance, because we're prone to not believing that we serve a miracle-working God, a God who delivers, a God who sets free, a God who works outside of our own patterns of thought, our own abilities, our own plans. We are stuck in a certain way of doing things, but God is not. And we've got to believe as we continue to pray. For example, we pray for an awakening in New York City. And if we go out in the streets of this city and we look with our natural eyes, there's not a plan known to man that's going to make this happen. People's hearts are so hard. But God can still send an angel. God can still come down and walk among the people. God can still slap them on the side, no matter where they find themselves or what's their lifestyle. Say, hey, get up, put on your coat, put on your shoes. We're going to a prayer meeting. We're going to go to the house of God. And when you get to the house of God, you're going to see why you have suddenly woken up out of your slumber, because there are people praying for you. I've asked Brad Geis, he's the campus director from the North Jersey campus, to come and take 10 minutes or so and share with us his testimony of how God saved him, how Christ saved him, how people prayed for him. And though he was in an impossible situation, God came to him. Christ came to him where he was, set him free. He's been serving God ever since. Brad, take your time and share your story, because in your story, you're going to see the power of prayer. God moved and saved this man through somebody in this church who went to prayer and would not let go of this man, would not let go, would not give up, and prayed until the Lord himself did exactly what we have just studied in the book of Acts, came into the room where he was and delivered him. You're going to hear it firsthand, and then Brad's going to lead us in prayer for those impossible situations that you and I are praying for people in our families that we just can't believe we can pray, but we find it so hard to believe that God will ever answer our prayer in a miraculous way.
I'd like to just share with you tonight what God has done in my life. I'd like to just start off that it wasn't many years ago, I was one of the best, no, I won't even say that, I was just one of the top commercial advertising photographers in this city. I've shot major ad campaigns that have been all over the world. I've photographed celebrities, album covers. My career was incredible. But in the middle of that, I had an emptiness, and I started seeking out going to nightclubs. I knew every nightclub, what night was the best night to go to every nightclub, and I had everybody would come to my photo studio, and it was just a party scene. And I, out at the nightclubs, I got introduced to drugs. Soon I got introduced to cocaine, started snorting it, and soon after I ended up late night at a nightclub, invited back to someone's apartment. It was a penthouse apartment. I remember the view was incredible from the penthouse, and all of these socialites from the nightclub were sitting there at the stove in the kitchen. They were cooking up their crack cocaine. And that night, I tried crack for the very first time, and I was instantly addicted. And my career went down the tubes at that time so fast. I had an addiction that lasted some 9 years here in the city. It took me to the depths that you would not believe. I've done things that I'm not very proud of. I've stole, I've sold things, I've pawned everything I owned to get crack cocaine. I ended up in crack houses. I have been just beat up on the streets, held up at gunpoint. One night I was trying to cop crack, and one guy was trying to rip me off and had a razor blade, and he was slicing up my jacket, and I didn't even realize it till I looked down. I ran really fast. But my life became a living hell, and my career was just about over. And I remember that I thought my life was over. My parents had completely given up on me. My family wrote me a letter. They expected, saying that they expected me to die as a drug addict. And when I remember reading that letter, I agreed with them. I had no more hope left. I'd been to rehab after rehab, outpatient program. I'd been to NA, Narcotics Anonymous, Drugs Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd been done it. Did it, couldn't get clean. The addiction had such a control on me. Satan had such a control over my life. I couldn't do it. I really expected to die as an addict. And one of the couple weeks before I got delivered, I remember I had a major photo shoot, and I needed a makeup artist to come in that day. And my career was just really pathetic at that point. I didn't have many jobs, and I through a recommendation of a friend, I hired a makeup artist, and she was a congregation member of this church. And she had her own story that night, but the Lord, that day when she came in, the Lord was speaking to her and saying, go and invite the photographer to church and go invite him. And her friend had said, don't you go in there and preach the gospel to him because he's, you know, one of my better, you know, photographers I worked with. Don't do it, you know, you've ruined your whole career just preaching about Jesus. And here God was telling her to go up to me and tell me about the Lord. And at the end of the day, she came up to me and just said, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Now, you have to understand, I had given up all hope. I had run out of all avenues to get clean. I had exhausted all possibilities in the natural. There was no more hope for me. And when she said church, I was like, God, I haven't tried God. He can do it. Now, the Bible says faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And with that, instantly, I had faith. And we exchanged phone numbers, and she would call me at night and pray with me on the phone. And I would be getting high, and she would finally made an appointment to come by. I told her she had to come and get me to take me to church. She, at that point, the Lord had told her that I was an addict. And here I said, you got to come get me. And I was locked. I remember the first time she came to get me, she rang the doorbell of my photo studio, and I wouldn't come to the door. I hid in the corner of my loft in a fetal position, weeping and crying. Satan had such a control over me with my addiction. And here I was, like she would, and she finally left, and she would continue to pray for me, continue to call me. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. The next Sunday, she came back again trying to take me to church. I couldn't get there. And I remember that night, I'd given up all hope. That's it. I couldn't even get to God. God could help me, but I couldn't get to church. And I remember that night, I cried out to God with all of my heart. And I laid a fleece, and I just said, God, I love you. I've always believed in you. Even when my common sense was telling me not to, I believed in you, God. And that night, I had a miracle happen. God delivered me of my addiction. I had a white light experience. He instantly took away my addiction. That night he said to me, you don't have to say no to drugs anymore. I'll say no for you because I died for your sins. I remember that next day, it was a Tuesday. That was a Monday I got saved. And I came to church on Tuesday night. I remember standing right about here, and I remember David Wilkerson was here that night, and he reached down from the pulpit and just put his hand on my shoulder and said, God just told me you are in a lot of pain. We want you to come back stage so we can pray over you. And everyone, I want to just share a couple life scriptures that God has given to me. One, you all know it, Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And hear this, nothing will be impossible to you. That's from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's mouth. Matthew 21:20-20 says, as Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have faith, hear this, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, But also, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it'll be done. And hear this, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer.